Christian Greenwood, and this is my Nova Scotia. Enjoy amazing live music around Halifax at the TD Halifax Jazz Festival, July 8th to the 16th. From July 17th to the 24th, it's the Halifax Pride Festival. And if you're like me, you can never get enough golf. It's the best way to see some of Nova Scotia's most beautiful scenery. Visit NovaScotia.com to plan your vacation. Our greens are awesome. So when are you coming?
Welcome in, everybody. Happy Friday. Another edition here of Mean Streets, powered by FTN, right here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany from Greenwood, Nova Scotia, here with you today on this Friday. I won't be alone. Jeff Bell of Football Guys is going to join me a little bit later on. He is the dynasty lead over at Football Guys. I think he's a big Metallica guy. We are going to talk about the Buffalo Bills 2022 Buffalo Bills team preview. You're going to look at their fantasy football assets, a little bit of Gabe Davis, a little bit of Cook versus Singletary. Of course, we know Josh Allen is a stud, and we know that the Buffalo Bills enter as Super Bowl favorites here as we get closer and closer to week one of the NFL season, which, by the way, the Bills will kick us off against the Los Angeles Rams. I think we're 49 days away, but who's counting? Also, the Rams got their Super Bowl rings last night. They looked pretty good as well. How about that commercial, right? Yeah, you guys, legendary Means commercial. Adam Rankamp in the house. Haha, love the commercial. Yeah, shout out to George and Tyler, and really George forcing Tyler, I think, to play that commercial off the hop. It's an old one. It came through my Facebook a little while ago. I think it's like 12, 13 years old. I used to work at a company called K-Rock, New Cap Radio, and I was just like a weekend guy, a little bit of sports and news, mostly news and not sports. And that's why I wanted to move to Toronto and meet the fine folks at Anthem Sports and Entertainment. And I remember we were just like down on location asking people to try out for like a Nova Scotian tourism commercial, and I just watched them all day, and I was like, you know what, I didn't hear too much about golf, I didn't hear too much about wineries, I gotta get in there and try out. And I did, and there you go, the rest is history. That was at Kenwo, a nice little golf course in the Annapolis Valley. Our greens are awesome, and that jazz festival I think just took place in Halifax over the weekend, or it's happening this weekend as well. I do appreciate you guys hanging by. Thanks for that commercial. Yeah. Wild to see that the old blonde locks there. So, as I mentioned, Jeff Bell is in here in a little bit. We're going to touch on the Bills. Deshaun Watson's suspension could come down at any moment. There's some reports that it could happen today, anywhere from 2 to 8 games. We're going to continue to look at NFFC high-stakes leagues. Now we're getting really deep. We're into round 13 now of NFFC high-stakes leagues. It's a couple interesting names at this point. We're really just taking shots on flyers. If you caught yesterday's episode, we touched on like 2 or 3 sleeper wide receivers. Actually gave you guys 5 sleepers that I like outside the top 55 at the wide receiver position, outside the top 140 picks overall. There's a couple names on that list from yesterday, but that's not going to be my target. You guys know I like those guys. We'll touch on them in a little bit. Major League Baseball officially really returned yesterday, but it's back here today. I think we did okay. We gave the one pick. Yesterday we had Carlos Rodon over 6.5 strikeouts. Man, he got rocked, and he got rocked early, but he did get 7 punch-outs, so we lucked out to get that. And I believe we said maybe the Giants, half a unit on the Giants, and they blew it late. They did. They were up 6-5. They came back, and then they blew it. Mookie Betts had a 3-run shot, and they lost. But we did get that Carlos Rodon prop, and we got a few more props here today. It's Shohei Ohtani Day up against Charlie Morton. Nobody really strikes out more than the Angels and more than the Braves. Both pitchers are checking in with a 7.5 strikeout prop. We're going to touch on that. I got a same game parlay for you, and then some other MLB props. I like the White Sox today. I like some White Sox backs against Cal Quantrill today. And I think there's some pretty good odds on the Astros too. I know Seattle's been hot, scorching hot. Julio Rodriguez, these guys are studs. Yesterday we saw Houston take both games against the Yankees. I just think we're getting pretty good odds for an Astros team. It's one of the best teams in all of baseball, despite being on the road. We can get them almost at like even money, I think like minus 120. So we're touching on all that in just a little bit. Tyler, do you want to bring up the World or the Super Bowl odds? We may touch on World Series odds. We haven't been doing that. So just guys, to give you a little bit of a sneak peek and things we'll be doing next week, we'll be diving into some, like just some season-long props, like who's going to lead the NFL in passing yards, rushing yards, receiving yards, which rookie is going to lead the NFL in receiving yards. So we're going to get into some futures on this show next week. But the Bills check in at 6-1, the Bucks 7-1, the Chiefs, the Packers at 10-1, the Rams, is defending Super Bowl champs there at 11-1. We get the 49ers, the Broncos at 16-1. A little bit deeper down the board, you got the Bengals, who went to the Super Bowl last year at 22-1. The Ravens, who did not have any luck last year with a ton of injuries, at 22-1. The Colts also at 22-1. We previewed them yesterday on this show. We talked about their defense being very, very strong, a good offensive line, one of the better backs in football, Jonathan Taylor, and an upgrade at the quarterback position. I don't think that they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I think at 22-1, them and the Ravens do stand out as some value. To me, all the value on this list is inside the NFC. And the Packers is a sucker bet. But the Bucs at 7-1, the Rams at 11-1. I don't feel like Trey Lance. Like, I like Trey Lance in the future, but I don't think, you know, at 16-1 with a rookie quarterback, I don't really love that bet. You know, the Cowboys have they've just had so many issues winning a playoff game over the past couple of years, but they're going to be hanging around this season. There's no question. The NFC is not very stacked. The AFC is completely stacked. I suppose the Browns at 30-1, if Deshaun gets, he's in the AFC. So I'm kind of shying away from all that. Honestly, for me, and Adam Rankamp says it, you know, Ravens at 22-1. Daily Handle likes Broncos at 16-1. We have a Broncos future bet inside the FTM bet tracker at 25-1. It was the minute that they acquired Russell Wilson, and the odds didn't change all that much. You know, I waited a little bit because I knew like 25 to 1 may not be around for long. That trade just went down. I waited a little bit, and even the next day it went to 22, and here we are. Now we're seeing 16-1 for the Denver Broncos. I still think there's some value to be had there, but my goodness, there's the AFC is just completely loaded. You got to feel like the Bucs and the Rams, that these guys, one of those two teams are going to be in the NFC championship game. So the path to the conference championship game is a lot clearer and easier inside the NFC. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to take a look at round three NFFC high stakes leagues. And then we're going to bring in Jeff Bell of Football Guys. We're going to dive into the Bills. He's got some fantasy football targets for us and some fantasy football fades. And since he's the dynasty lead over at Football Guys, maybe we'll have to ask him who's the number one dynasty buy low or potential sell high candidate. Albert, good morning, buddy. Welcome into Mean Streets here on Game Plus Network. We'll be back in a couple. Welcome back in Mean Streets live on Game Plus Network and here on our FTN Network YouTube page. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. And look who we have in here now. We have Jeff Bell. I could only assume, Jeff, you are a Metallica fan, dude. You are also the dynasty lead over at Football Guys on the Twitter machine you see right there, for whom J. Bell tolls. Welcome in, man. How are you?
Good, Chris. How are you? Thank you so much for having me on. You know, I grew up in the 90s, and so I was a child of that 90s alternative grunge metal, and so I got into Nirvana a little bit there. I still kind of throw that back. Now it's like dad rock now, but I really enjoy it, so it's kind of my era. But thank you so much for having me on today. I really, really appreciate it.
Of course. I'm really looking forward to this conversation. I've been following you on Twitter. I'm seeing, you know, you're engaging and everything happening in fantasy football land these days. It's exciting times for everybody drafting, and we're getting so much closer to football season. I'm with you. I grew up in the 90s as well. I'm not sure what dad rock is. Like, what's dad rock these days? Like, what do you think?
I feel like Weezer is probably the definition of dad rock now. Sum 41, but, you know, kind of in that vein where all those things that right in the late 90s, early 2000s, I feel like it's kind of that vein right now.
Yeah, the American Pie soundtrack, Sum 41,
there you go. Like
182.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, I saw Metallica live back in the day. I was actually talking off the top of the show that I worked for a radio station because the boys just played some random commercial. They wanted to poke some holes at me and have some fun here on a Friday. But yeah, I was down in Halifax. I was just working. I remember it was our like sister station in the city in Halifax, and asked if I wanted to like just kind of work the door for a Metallica concert. I was like, absolutely, of course. Yes. I would. And they were just so bumping and so loud that I can hear everything perfectly from where I was letting people into the concert. So it was a good time. And now it's bringing me back. A lot of things I want to get to with you today. But first, let's start with the Buffalo Bills, because I know you follow every team closely, but you do follow this Bills team pretty closely as well. Bills Mafia, right? 11.5 win total.
Right.
They're heavy favorites to win the AFC East, of course. 4-1 to win the conference. 7-1 to win the Super Bowl. We just gave Super Bowl odds in the last segment. Those were from DraftKings, and they were 6-1. So we have the free prop shop and parlay calculator over at ftmbets.com to get the best possible odds. Save yourself a little bit of time so you don't got to go searching around. Last year, you see the record at 11-6. Let's switch over, Tyler, to some of their weapons here. And, you know, Josh Allen's been the quarterback one in each of the past two seasons. He's going as the quarterback one. These are high stakes leagues. Over the last 6 weeks, ADP, you know, fluctuates a little bit from, you know, site to site, but people are putting their hard-earned bucks, Jeff, on the line here over the past couple weeks and drafting Josh Allen as quarterback one on average, 25th pick overall. Devin Singletary, RB29. James Cook, RB that they drafted. They tried to get J.D. McKissick, didn't work out. It looked like he was there for a minute. He goes back to Washington, then they get themselves a pass-catching back and Cook in the draft. Stephon Diggs, Gabriel Davis, we definitely have to talk about him. Jameson Crowder and Dawson Knox. Let's just talk about this team overall. High expectations. ESPYs just came out with a bunch of awards the other day. The best game, of course, not for you and other Bills fans, but certainly for the football world. That Chiefs and Bills overtime game was absolutely phenomenal, and Josh Allen was fantastic in that game. The expectations are fair. These guys probably should be Super Bowl contenders. What do you make of this squad heading in? Is it Super Bowl or bust in Buffalo this year?
I think we're there. You know, I think last year it was kind of getting to that point. And then I think the year before they made a run to the AFC Championship game against Kansas City. And that was one of those where we had been beaten down for so long. And you're kind of like, okay, we can do this. We can win some playoff games. We can kind of get there. And you know, the way that they lost last year, it harkens back to all the Bills' heartbreaking playoff losses of, you know, we mentioned being children of the 90s all the way back to our childhood. And I think that there's some PTSD probably with the fan base of bringing those memories back the way they lost that Chiefs game. But they are there, especially with the signing of Von Miller, bringing him in and adding some of those other pieces. You know, there's going to be some shift in the offense with Ken Dorsey taking over, with Brian Daboll leaving to go to the Giants. But we are at Super Bowl or bust.
Yeah, I think so. Do you want to roll through their schedule? I mean, just like to have some fun to see where we're at with the 11.5. I feel like this is a 13-win team, honestly, but like, let's roll through it together. So they open up week one. That's how the NFL kicks off. I think we're 49 days away, but who's counting? Against the Super Bowl champs in the Los Angeles Rams, Thursday Night Football. What do we see? What do we think there? Is that, do we give them a win on the road? Do we give the champs a win there? What do you think? It's a tough one, right?
That is a tough one because that has traditionally felt like a buzzsaw game for the visiting team coming off. You know, that's kind of one of those where the vibes are flowing in the stadium with the Super Bowl champions. But you know, the Bills are, it could be one of those games where maybe the Rams are flying a little bit too high. We've seen that in the past too. And the Bills kind of come in and fire on all cylinders and take that game. I want to be practical and a little bit skeptical as a fan. So I kind of mark that one as a loss just because we've seen that in the past be a difficult game for the road team to win.
Okay, fair. It's okay if you want to be a little, you know, on the homer side of things. I'll put you in your spot if I feel like you're out of place here. But I'll agree. Let's give the Rams a W there, and then things will, I think, get a little bit easier for Buffalo moving forward. Week two, Tennessee Titans at home, Monday Night Football. That's a win for Buffalo.
You know, you would think so, but the Tennessee Titans are like the bugaboo for the Bills. And it's just one of those
2 years, right? They've beaten
even historically going back. This franchise has always given the Bills problems. And I think it's one of those styles make fights. And that's what they'd always talk about in boxing. And the Titans have that power run game. And I think that that just is the exact style that gives the Bills problems. And so I'll give it a win because I don't want to be total like negative Nancy on my team here starting out as the favorites to win the Super Bowl. But that makes me nervous. That makes me nervous that they could be in a position 0-2. And then you start to have those conversations of like, oh, is everything okay with the Bills?
Yeah. And you're right. I do remember that game, a couple games, right? Where teams, and that has been the bugaboo, not just the Titans, but I guess if there's one weakness of this Bills squad, it probably is stopping the run, right? I mean, the defense has been so good over the past couple of seasons. We saw Derrick Henry run over them. We saw that one game in Buffalo, and it was the win game, the win bowl, where Mac Jones didn't throw the ball at all, but you saw Ramondre Stevenson and Harris run all over them. So, okay, we'll give them a W there, but could you imagine if they started 0-2? I mean, you might be able to get the Bills at like 9-1 or something silly like that at the, you know, for Super Bowl odds. So maybe you just like, if you want to bet the Bills, maybe you wait after the first 2 weeks. But on the flip side, if they start 2-0 against the Rams and the Titans, we're looking at them like 5-1. But yeah, we'll give them a win at home. So then week three in Miami against the Dolphins.
I think they win that just because Josh Allen has traditionally owned that Dolphins franchise. But again, this schedule is a buzzsaw at the beginning of the year because we mentioned that Rams game. We talk about the Titans giving them problems. Then you go down to Miami, and this could be one of those where maybe it's 90 degrees and humid in Miami where the Bills are kind of used. We've seen, you know, the Patriots have struggled in that situation in the past. Mm. The Bills have had better luck recently against Miami than, you know, Miami always gave Tom Brady problems, I feel like, in those types of games. Always, but so there's a little bit of that there. And maybe Miami's getting figured out with Mike McDaniel and Tua's rolling a little bit there. But I do give them a win just because Josh Allen has traditionally owned that franchise.
Yeah, as he ever. Absolutely. He's torched them. Since we're on Miami here, because I know you can touch on everything, but are you in or out on Tyreek Hill?
I'm in on Tyreek Hill. So I wrote a spotlight for footballguys.com. I looked at Tyreek Hill, and what a lot of people don't realize is he was a running back in college, and he was kind of one of those satellite backs. And so he's not going to be the full-blown Deebo Samuels. But if he gets those, you know, if he can clip off 3 fantasy points on the ground per game, get an occasional touchdown here, add 20 yards here as they use him in that run game, then really he only needs to perform as a kind of middle wide receiver too. With that on top, it's almost like a Konami quarterback where you add that little bit of bonus in the rush game, and just kind of average production at wide receiver will nudge you up to the top of that tier.
Yeah, you mentioned McDaniel. I mean, I'm sure the offense is going to look a lot like it did in San Fran, and just getting the ball in these playmakers' hands and watching them like explode after. So a lot of people look at Tyreek as a deep threat guy. I don't really feel like he's actually a deep threat guy. I mean, he can blow the top off any defense in the NFL. There's no question about that. And he's staying true to Tua having a better deep ball than Patrick Mahomes. We'll see how that plays out. So we got the Bills at 2-1. And then you're right, it's tough, right? In Baltimore against the Ravens week 4. That's a tough one.
It is, absolutely. Yeah, that early, those first 6 games in the schedule are difficult games. And then they hit the bye, and then they kind of cruise after that. And so looking at those, we'll get to that point. But I could see sitting at like 2-4 and everybody freaking out about the Bills. And then all of a sudden they clip out 10 of the 11 and, you know, you feel fine at the end of the year.
Let's give them a win against Baltimore. Okay. Let's give them a win against Pittsburgh week 5. And then that Kansas City one in Kansas City, we'll say maybe a loss there. And then you're right. So that's a really tough stretch. They could come out of their 2-4. They can come out of their 4-2. I mean, heck, they can come out of their 6-0. I don't think anybody would be surprised. This team is certainly legit, but it is a tough, looking at this schedule, Jeff, it is super tough. The Rams, Titans, who they struggle against, a division rival on the road, then Baltimore, Pittsburgh. I think that they can handle the Steelers, and then into Kansas City to take on the Chiefs. And then they have the bye, and then out of the bye, they're at home, but they do play a Packers squad. But I think we can give them that win against Green Bay. I don't know where you're at. I think Green Bay is slightly overrated.
Yeah, I think so too. I think we hit on the point exactly there, that coming out of that bye, win that game against Green Bay, and it's going to be downhill from there. And so, you know, I think we always handle very small sample sizes very well when it comes to football conversation. But if this team is 3-3 and everybody's freaking out, but again, I feel very comfortable with the rest of the schedule.
Yeah, check out this after week 8. Got the Jets week 9. I'm just going to speak for you. W. Week 10, Vikings. W. Week 11, Cleveland. Who knows? We may get a Deshaun Watson suspension today. There's some reports it could happen anywhere from 2 to 8 games, but I still think that this team is certainly better than Cleveland. Then you got Detroit. Do you give them the win in Foxborough against New England? I feel like maybe the Pats could win one of those games against Buffalo this year.
It really depends if Bill Belichick's got that weather machine rolling, because I think we've seen these games play out in perfect weather. And I think that the Bills look to be ahead of New England and pretty comfortably. I mean, that playoff game against New England was something that I think was very eye-opening, but where these two teams stand. But you never know with Bill Belichick if he can figure something out.
Even if we give them that one, they're at 9. And then after that, they got the Jets, Miami, Chicago. So you got to feel like there's at least 2 more. We got them at the number right there, 11. Then they wrap up against the Bengals, and then they wrap up against New England. So 11.5 is a high number, Jeff. But this does feel, even though we ran through this schedule together and, you know, walking through it with you, it's like, wow, they do really have a tough schedule to start and that it opens up for them. I do feel like this is a 12 or 13 win team, and this team should be hosting playoff games this season. You agree?
I do. And, you know, they're the Super Bowl favorites right now. And I think when you look at some of the other divisions in the AFC, that we could see the AFC North cluster together there a little bit, the AFC West, a little bit of the same thing. And the other thing, too, I think underrated, they brought in Case Keenum. And we've seen in the past that over small games, Case Keenum can kind of keep things rolling. And so if, God forbid, Josh Allen misses any time, I think that they've got a backup quarterback that's capable of making sure that they kind of stay on track there. And so that's one of those things that you always think losing the quarterback might derail things. And that 11.5 is a big number, but yeah, I mean, you could see 14-3, and I don't think anybody would be surprised at that number.
No, I don't think so either, Jeff. Let's hold on for a second, if you don't mind. We'll throw to a commercial quickly, and we'll come back and we'll talk about some of their offensive weapons, right? Brian Daboll's no longer around. How's this offense going to look? Very similar. Got to talk to you about Gabe Davis, right? I mean, he is I don't know if there's a player that's really driven up draft boards from this time last year right now. So we'll be back in a couple. Hang tight. Welcome back into Mean Streets. Chris Meany and Jeff Bell here with you of Football Guys. We were talking about the Buffalo Bills. We just ran through their schedule, and I think we're both in agreement that this team will be very, very good, and they're worthy of being Super Bowl favorites here as we inch closer to week one of the NFL season. Let's talk about some of their pieces. Of course, I mentioned in the last block that Brian Daboll is no longer around. Now he's the head coach in New York, and I'm sure Giants fans have to be extremely excited with that, because there's no creativity at all in their offensive play calling last season, and he has done wonders. The Bills have, really, with Josh Allen. We've seen massive improvements from him over, you know, from year one to year two to year three, and then getting MVP votes and being up there for the favorite as the MVP this season as well. Let's look at some of their weapons. I will say Gabe Davis is going early, not this early. His ADP is actually 55 over the last 6 weeks over at NFFC, but he is roughly anywhere from wide receiver 24 to 28. Allen is QB one off the board. We touched on that. The two running backs, I want to get your thoughts on how you think that will play out. But I guess first we could just start with Josh Allen, and just like a little bit of a quick one for you, Josh. I don't know how you go about drafting quarterbacks. Like, will you have any shares of Allen if he's going that early? Or is it just a guy that, you know, if you're in a super flex league, maybe you'll have some shares of him. But even in those formats, Jeff, you need like a top five pick in a super flex league to get your hands on Josh Allen.
You do. I mean, you realistically, in most super flex leagues, you need the first overall pick to get your hands on Josh Allen. And, you know, I'm very invested in Dynasty. Obviously, I'm Dynasty lead over at Football Guys. So that's my game. And, you know, it's one of those that I've waited so long for the Bills to have a quarterback that I have a lot of Josh Allen on my Dynasty rosters. Nice. When it comes to one quarterback redraft leagues, he's really going to have to slide past ADP for me to grab him, just because you look at the depth of the quarterback position. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers is kind of sitting as that quarterback 12. And I did a mock draft a couple weeks back for NBC, and I was able to wait, have the last person to grab quarterback, and I got Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback running one in round 12, which is absolutely wild. There's never been a better year to wait on quarterback this year. Even though some of those elite guys at the top give you a good edge over the field, it's, you know, when you look at the value that you can get on waiting on a quarterback, those guys are just going too early.
Yeah, I agree. There's a ton of value. We talk about that on the show all the time. I think that's like the number one tip I have for people who are just playing fantasy football, like for the first time, because they'll look at scoring and they say, oh, wow, quarterbacks, like they dominate fantasy football. I got to get myself a quarterback. But every year we see two or three guys inside the top 10 or top 12 that just like weren't drafted in standard single quarterback leagues with like 10 or 12, you know, of your buddies. So I agree with that take. Let's talk about the backfield. Are you interested in Singletary at this price? Would you rather have Cook? Are you just passing? We know that Josh Allen is like basically the running back on this team inside the red zone for years. He's been calling his own number. I've heard, you know, reports out of Buffalo and, you know, coaches say that they'd like to have, you know, Allen protect himself, not run around as much. I just feel like it's in his nature. He's so good at it. And he's just a big body. He can just get in with ease. But Singletary was pretty impressive last year at times, and he really overtook the backfield, right? Zach Moss is just like an afterthought at this point. How do you see this backfield playing out? What do you think the touches will look like? Is it fair to say maybe like a 60-40 off the hop? Like, how do you think?
I think it might even be heavier in Devin Singletary's favor. I think he's a great guy to grab there, especially if you're in a roster build where maybe you go hero running back, you take one running back early and you load up on those wide receivers. Devin Singletary landing there at RB 29, you know, that's a guy that you can grab to be your running back too. And really the Bills, the thing to look at with the Bills offense, and I think that gets really lost when people dig into this, is they were struggling for a good portion of the year. And then that Tampa Bay game, that first half of that Tampa Bay game, they really struggled. The second half, they threw everything out and they just said, we're going to roll with Singletary as our primary running back. We're going to roll with Gabe Davis. We're going to roll with Dawson Knox. We're going to roll with Stephon Diggs. And we'll use that fifth skill spot as to rotate guys around a little bit. And I do think that Devin Singletary coming out of the jump will kind of have that lion's share of the carries in the backfield. My concern on Singletary, I don't know how much passing game involvement you're going to get, because I do think that that's why James Cook was brought in. You know, they tried to bring in J.D. McKissic. There was even a rumor that they were looking at Christian McCaffrey and they acquired on him. I think they really want that receiving back. And I know that that hasn't been a role traditionally in their offense, but I think that that's kind of a function of not having those abilities in that backfield. But I do think that Singletary is a guy, he kind of strikes me a lot as, like, it's a very different package, obviously, but like an A.J. Dillon or like a Damian Harris, where you're going to get those rushing, you are going to get some touchdowns, but the passing game work might not really be there.
Can you imagine Chris McCaffrey in this backfield? I know there's a lot of rumors about Saquon Barkley, and then, like, would they draft Breece Hall? I mean, really, it's the, and no disrespect to Singletary and then bringing in Cook, it's the only, like, downfall for this offense. Yes. You got an elite quarterback, you got an elite wide receiver in Stephon Diggs, you bring in Jamison Crowder, who we can touch on. Dawson Knox was a touchdown machine last year. We may see some regression from him, but I gotta ask you about Gabe Davis. So just over the last 4 weeks here on average, so you got DK Metcalf, wide receiver 20, Cortland Sutton, wide receiver 21, Allen Robinson, wide receiver 22, 23 is Brennan Cooks, Amon-Ra St. Brown, wide receiver 24, and then Gabe Davis at 25. After him, Judy, Mooney, Godwin, Cooper, Juju, Rashad Bateman, the list goes on. There's some value certainly at the wide receiver position outside the top 30. Is this price fair? And I will say, last year, I looked like a fool, Jeff. Last year, I gave bold predictions, and I said Gabe Davis would finish as a top 15 wide receiver. He didn't really do a whole lot throughout the season. He had such a strong finish to his rookie year. And I was like, man, him and Josh Allen just seem to be on the same page. Like, he seems to be a red zone target. He's getting these touchdowns. I'm like, this is the year. We didn't really see it until the last playoff game that we talked about in the last segment, where he had four TDs. And now, of course, everybody is in on the breakout campaign. Do you like the price?
I think that so one of the biggest things that people can do in fantasy is understand the platform that you're drafting on, and the, because ADP shifts in between platforms. And so you might see, you know, an underdog, Gabe Davis is very aggressively priced and you're having to use a fourth or fifth round pick on him. And that, I get a little bit of hesitation getting in there, but then on Sleeper, like, I grabbed him in the 12th round in a draft that I did the other day. And it's wildly different. He is one player that's wildly different between sites. I like him as long as you can get him somewhere in that value. And wide receiver 28, I think, is fine, because you're really placing a bet on the Bills offense. You're placing a bet on him being essentially not coming off the field, which is what we saw at the end of last year. And he's really the only vertical threat in that offense. But even beyond that, I think they're at a place with the franchise where, yes, they've paid Stephon Diggs, but at the same time, they placed that value on Stephon Diggs, giving him that contract. Gabe Davis is coming up an extension, and I think that they want to see what they really have in Gabe Davis. Can they work him inside the slot? Can he be that guy that can grow into that receiver, or do they need to dive into the draft and kind of backfill that position? So I think they're going to shove it all on him. They're going to keep him on the field. He's in an elite passing offense, and I can buy in on him just as long as you're not getting in one of those places where he's aggressively top 20 wide receiver or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about him if he was my wide receiver too in a redraft. I think what you mentioned, underdog and best ball, I mean, you know, people, if they get Josh Allen, then, you know, they want to make sure that they get that stack. And I think that makes a lot of sense. The offense is going to be legit. We're talking about Allen being a number one quarterback here. The offense will be at least top five. Like, there's no question it certainly will be top five. So I'm a little hesitant, and I'm such a fan, right? I am such a fan of what he has to offer in the quarterback play that I'm, when it gets in around that range, like, I think I would rather a Robinson or a Cooks or a Mooney, but certainly I mean, round 12, you said, in sleeper? I can get behind that. Crazy. There's no question. What do you think about Crowder? What do you think about Jameson Crowder? I mean, some strong seasons in Washington. I remember one of the seasons he had, I think he was number two or number three in red zone targets overall. And then last year, of course, even the past couple seasons, some really bad quarterback play. Health has been an issue with Jameson Crowder over the course of his career. When he's healthy and on the field, he seems to be productive inside the slot. Cole Beasley had really nice seasons, not so much last year, but the year before he had a fantastic season, I thought. Emmanuel Sanders was just inconsistent. Do you think Crowder is a good flyer here as like wide receiver 66-ish?
I mean, he's crazy deep there. And, you know, that gives you a very low entry point into this offense. I'm concerned that what I'm seeing a lot of is kind of people assigning Cole Beasley's role onto Jameson Crowder and saying, well, Jameson Crowder is a better player than Cole Beasley. He'll get more. But what we saw at the end of last year was really when they went with that personnel where they kept with Diggs, Davis, Dawson Knox, Singletary, and kind of that fifth position. I think they're set up very well where they can use OJ Howard in that role and roll with 12 personnel, or maybe they roll with Jameson Crowder in that role and they want to go three wide receiver. Or I think you're going to see Isaiah McKenzie used in that role as well, and kind of giving some of that gadget work. And then at the same time, James Cook is such a good receiver that I think that they could play Singletary and Cook in the backfield together and maybe use Cook as a player that they can motion out into the slot, do different things with him. And so what I'm seeing with this offense is they're going to keep those core four personnel that they really rolled with when they really started firing on all cylinders with that offense, and use that fifth position to kind of situationally roll through. And I see Crowder as a player that he's really going to need an injury, I think, to ever feel comfortable putting him in your lineup. Now, if you're playing in a deeper best ball, I could see going there just because you might get some of those, like maybe he catches, you know, six or seven passes and gets you 60 yards and a touchdown and you're playing that week. But at the same time, it's a guy that I just don't love having handcuff wide receivers when I'm building a roster.
Fair,
and I'd much would rather use those later bench positions on running backs that we have seen become like RB1, and injury can, you know, a guy like Jamal Williams or something like that goes out of nowhere and could be an RB1 if Swift were to go down. And I think that's kind of in that range that I just like to build rosters that way and use earlier picks to load up on wide receivers that I know are stepping into high volume target shares.
And there's some higher ceiling wideouts in around that range too, like younger guys that you could take, like a Joshua Palmer or something like that, in around that range, of David Bell, like just kind of shoot for some upside. I was going to ask you if Isaiah McKenzie was the sleeper on the squad. I think we agree. Like, I think you kind of just touched on it. He could be as a gadget guy. He could be sneaky. Just quickly, yes or no, in or out on Dawson Knox?
I might be more in on Dawson Knox than anybody because I look at that. He's really the same bet that you're making on Gabe Davis, where you're looking at vacated targets in this offense. You're looking at a player that's going to be on the field. But the thing with Knox is you're buying at a lower ADP. You're buying a guy that's already given you a tight end one season, and you're buying a guy, I mean, he's listed, what, tight end 10. There's almost no risk in buying Dawson Knox, and he's a guy that back end tight end is wide open, and we can want to deal in data as much as we want to, but narrative wise, we know that he's best friends with Josh Allen. We see him around Buffalo with Josh Allen, and he's in a contract year. And I think that Josh Allen would probably love to get his late night video game buddy paid. And Dawson Knox, I think, is the best buy on this offense.
Oh, wow. I did not see that coming. Okay. Yeah. He is a touchdown machine. He does look – Allen looks his way all the time. It seems like there's always a random tight end that gets a touchdown from the one at times, but most times it is Dawson Knox. I think that's a different take than the fantasy community. It's fresh. I don't hate it. I don't hate it at all. Do you have time for like five more minutes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, let's break. I want to get some targets from you that aren't Buffalo Bills. So one more segment here with Josh. Jeff, hang tight. So much Buffalo talk. I called you Josh. It is Jeff Bell here of Football Guys. Enough of the Bills. Bills Mafia, that's it. I've had enough. They're good. We get it. They're awesome. Jeff, jokes aside, I wanted to get some thoughts on some other players that you have that you're targeting. So I have a board here of like round three NFFC high stakes leagues. I feel like there's got to be a name or two on this list that you like. Alvin Kamara, Keenan Allen, T. Higgins. Oh, look at, of course, Josh Allen, Michael Pittman, A.J. Brown, Cam Akers. You got James Conner there, Travis Etienne, Kyle Pitts, Jalen Waddle, and Breece Hall. Give me your name or two that you like from this grouping. Hopefully you have a target or two in this range.
You know, we've got the graphic up already, so I'm going to go with Kyle Pitts. And really, you know, I think there's hesitation maybe on that Falcons offense, maybe on him not scoring any touchdowns last year. But if, when you look at NFL history, there's only been 14 rookies, period, not tight ends, receivers, that have gotten 68 receptions and 1,026 yards. That's what he got last year. And really, when you look at his usage, he is a wide receiver that is playing tight end. All the numbers point to that. He stands out among the tight end group. And so getting that volume, I think, is going to create so much value at the tight end position that this is a position that if you hit an elite player, that can really differentiate yourself against your league. And so Kyle Pitts is a player that I'm full steam ahead. You know, you could buy him in that third round, that late third round. That is a great price to get a potential guy that could be the tight end one. You know, I think there might be some questions and concerns about some of the other guys. And, you know, would anybody be surprised to see Kyle Pitts end up tight end one this year?
No, not at all. I certainly would not be. And I can guarantee you he's going to get a touchdown on North American soil this season, which just didn't happen for him last year. The one touchdown in the London game. I'm a huge fan. I view him as like a wide receiver one, and there's so much value between like round 4 and 8 with just like wide receivers. You can still get yourself solid wide receivers and a guy that's going to get 1,000 yards. What do you think about Breece Hall? Because he is getting a lot of traction in the fantasy community. Of course, now he is part of the Jets. And look at the pieces that they have acquired and through the draft over the past couple of seasons, right? Hall, Wilson, last year, Michael Carter. We probably have to pour one out for him. Zach Wilson, Elijah Moore, and they brought in CJ Uzomah through free agency this season, and then Corey Davis the year before. Some people don't want to draft a back linked to a bad offense. I think that I think that this offense and this whole team is going to continue to grow overall, but I view Hall as a guy who could be a bell cow back at this price as RB18. I think he could be an RB1, and we're getting him as an RB2. Do you feel me on that, or am I out to lunch?
Oh, I'm all the way there. You know, he's already rising up draft boards, because I think earlier in the offseason, you could have gotten him in the 4th round or even the 5th round. And now, you know, he's sitting, I guess, early 4th round ADP on FFPC there. And that's usually a little bit of a sharper crowd. And so they're kind of on that there. But really, when you look at Breece Hall, this is a player that we know we love rookie running backs traditionally in fantasy. So it's kind of funny that he's sitting this low, considering on how high the dynasty community is on him and other areas on him. But I think we're really just one preseason play away from, you know, he could jump an entire round in ADP if he gets that one run in the preseason. And I think you touched on it a little bit there. The Jets have, it's just one of those that, we could be nervous about Zach Wilson, but I hear it so often of like, I like every single individual piece of the Jets offense, but I don't like the Jets offense. And it's one of those, well, if we like every piece of this and they are in year two with a new head coach and a new offensive coordinator now in year two, at some point we got to like the offense a little bit more than maybe what we realize.
Yeah, I would totally agree with that as well. Even Najee Harris was getting a lot of buzz last year. Of course, it was the Steelers. It was a much better team, but there were some holes offensively, some questions about, you know, at the quarterback play as well with the Steelers. I'll get you out of here on this, since you're a dynasty guy. Like, who, I just kind of put you on the spot. We only have like a minute or so, but who is like a great buy low, or somebody that you've bought in low in terms of dynasty? It doesn't have to be on this board, but maybe somebody that you feel like, hey, go get him now, because, you know, maybe this time next year we're talking about his value or his ADP skyrocketing.
So I'm going to break your rule and not wanting to talk to about the Bills anymore, but I'm going to play the hits and go right back to Dawson Knox there. I think that, you know, he's sitting that late tight end value. And, you know, we know that tight ends take a little bit longer to develop, and he really jumped forward last year. And if you're somebody that watches the Bills, that follows the team closely, there has been so much preseason buzz that it's just finally clicked. And it's a guy that we've seen the athleticism, we've seen the plays in spurts, but it seems like he'd always fail to make the easy play. And it does kind of seem like that, you know, his head was maybe moving a little bit faster than his body was. And now it kind of seems like everything's not firing on all cylinders. And I think that when you're looking at a young tight end like that, and the other thing too, is that the tight end landscape is shifting. And we see that in Dynasty where, you know, Travis Kelce, how many more elite years are there? Right. Maybe he's Tony Gonzalez and he's going to give you 5 more elite years. But at the same time, he could fall off the cliff before we know it. George Kittle, we know we have injury concerns there. Darren Waller, now they've added Devontae Adams. So that tight end landscape is really, really shifting. And Dawson Knox gives you an opportunity to buy in very cheaply on an elite offense. Long-term, he can grow long-term with Josh Allen. You're kind of linking yourself there to the really the best quarterback in fantasy football. And so the amount of pushback on him is kind of wild to me. And that's something that, you know, I'm always going to do what I tell people to do. And I have been buying Dawson Knox up in every single league I can in Dynasty this offseason.
And believe it or not, I mean, you know this, people watching the show knows that they know this as well. When you hear negative reports or negative and people are just assuming regression, I mean, they say it every year, Adam Thielen, he's not going to score like a bunch of touchdowns again this year. There's no way. And he does it, right? So when you hear that kind of stuff, people that, you know, hear that as well, they're like, ah, well, maybe I don't want Dawson Knox in my squad. Maybe I'm willing to give him up for a pick or two. So I like that call from you. Jeff, a pleasure, man. Fantastic Absolutely. Stuff. Hopefully we can chop it up again. Good luck to your Bills. Dynasty lead over at Football Guys. Check him out on the Twitter machine right there for whom J. Bell tolls. Enjoy, dude. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon. We got more football talk. We got some MLB picks here next as well on Game Plus Network. Keep her locked. Welcome back in. I want to give another shout out there to Jeff Bell. He did have a fade, and I think it was James Conner. We didn't really touch on Conner, but I do agree with that. I don't feel like that guy's going to get like 15 touchdowns again, and he didn't really run between the tackles all that well last year. But thanks so much for Jeff Bell for dropping by. Joshua Frick in the house. Meaning, when was the last time a Jets RB was fantasy or was relevant for fantasy? Oh my goodness. Bilal Powell? Or was he just like a... I think Bilal Powell had some decent seasons. Him and Matt Forte, I think they were a 1-2 punch 1 year, like around 2016 or something like that. I know Powell was like, for me, and I think the fantasy community, I think a lot of people were in on him as like a breakout candidate. I don't know if he ever really returned value. I think there were some decent moments. Before that, I feel like I just think of Chris Ivory. I feel like Chris Ivory was a low-end RB1 or a high-end RB2 1 year in around 2014-15. That's when the Jets were good, right? With Sanchez, defense was good. They were kind of hanging around, I think. It's been a while. It doesn't mean it can't happen, though, right? I mean, they got some nice pieces there offensively this season. And I like the future, actually, what's happening with the Jets. I love Sauce Gardner. Okay, so round 13, NFFC, high-stakes leagues. Here's a list of players on average. J.D. McKissic, Jameson Williams, DJ Chark, going to go back-to-back there. I think Chark could start off with like a better start to the season than Jameson Williams, but I'm shooting for the upside and Jameson there. I think I'd rather have him. I think at the end of the day, maybe we'll start to see the rookie take over a little bit, but there's a lot of mouths to feed in Detroit. But I think either one of those guys, a pretty decent shot, but I can't imagine they're going to be the number one or two, like Amon-Ra, TJ Hockenson, Swift out of the backfield, right? So there is a lot going on there. Actually, like Jared Goff is a quarterback for that reason. Matt Ryan, Devontae Parker, just touched on Jameson Crowder. I actually don't mind Crowder. I agree with a lot of the points that Jeff made, but you know, he's basically free on a good offense. Williams is hurt, but there's some reports that he could be ready to go week one. We'll keep an eye on that. They're not going to rush him back, but even read that at draft time that there were some reports that he could be ready to rock week one. And then we get closer to the season, we hear that he's not. He's going to fall down even more. And then I seriously don't mind the pick there. In best ball, you can make a case for anybody, but this guy's a touchdown machine. Deep touchdown guy, kind of like DeSean Jackson, but better. Hunter Henry in there, who was a touchdown machine, is doing his best version of Gronk, and he did it a lot last year for the Pats. Noah Fant switching jerseys to Seattle. Don't like his outlook there. Van Jefferson's I got a soft spot for him, man. I think he's a stud, but ultimately the number 3-4 option inside this offense. I don't mind taking a shot on him. We got a defense here in Buffalo as the first off the board, Joshua Palmer. So I mentioned yesterday Crowder and Palmer as sleepers, so I do like those guys. Darrell Williams in there as well, 1L2Rs. I think he could kind of take that Chase Edmonds role, is catching balls out of the backfield. I think he's a decent target as well. But I'm going to go with J.D. McKissic here. This is a full point setting, PPR, round 13. Only played 11 games last year. Not a guy that's going to get a lot of touches between the tackles. Not a guy that's going to get a lot of touches inside the red zone as carries. But a guy to me that I saw in Washington got a lot of the work on third down, got all the two-minute drill. They just don't view Antonio Gibson that way. I know that the back that they drafted in Robinson is going to be a guy that it carries the ball, maybe steals some touches on the goal line in Washington. That's certainly the case there as well. But look at the note on the right. Fifth in targets and catches among running backs since 2019. In 2020, he had 80 grabs. Last year, he had 40-plus catches as well. As you see, 43 catches on a team that really he only played 11 games. So I think at a full point setting PPR, you see where he finished last year as RB37. You're not getting him as RB37 this year, getting him in the mid-50s among running backs. I got him ranked as RB40 in a full point setting. So don't mind JD McKissic, just a guy maybe that you can plug in there in a PPR league as your flex play. We got some MLB picks next here to round out Mean Streets. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back in. I got a couple MLB boards here for you. Let's start with a same game parlay between the Angels and the Atlanta Braves. So we got Shohei on the bump against Charlie Morton. Both pitchers have been really, really good, especially Shohei. The guy's allowed one earned run in his last five outings and just two in his last six. He's got double-digit strikeouts in four straight games. Atlanta has the third highest strikeout rate in baseball. And guess who has the highest strikeout rate in baseball? It's the Los Angeles Angels, 26.5%. The Braves are 24.8%. The Halos are striking out 29% of the time over the last 4 weeks of the season. So I do believe, even though these are high numbers, I think we'll see Shohei and Morton get to 8 punchouts, and I don't think we'll see a lot of runs. The total is 7. I like the under 7.5. You can get 7 at plus money. I'd go to the under 7.5, but we've kind of got an alternate total here in the same game parlay of 8.5, and the Halos have been the worst team in baseball over the last 2 months, so I do like the Braves at home to get it done. That pays plus 375 over at Bet365, and then a couple others here to look at. Or like the Chicago White Sox today. You see up at the top, Toronto and Boston, 8.5. I mean, it's a pretty good matchup with Gossman and Eovaldi, but these are two really good offenses, and the Boston bullpen is just not great. Let's be honest, guys. It just isn't good. They have some injuries happening on their squad, but offensively, they can score some runs. I like both teams to combine here for at least 9 runs. As I mentioned in the other block or the other board there, I like the under between the Halos and the Braves. You can just take this as a single bet at under 7.5 over at FanDuel at minus 122. I like the Astros here, Urquidy up against Marco Gonzalez. I know that Seattle's been really good, and Gonzalez is a good pitcher at home. He keeps the ball on the ground, but give me the Astros at this price. Are you kidding me? And then I love the White Sox. 5 runs, Luis Robert over 1.5 total bases at plus money. Jose Abreu over 1.5 total bases at plus money. If you look at just the White Sox overall, Luis Robert has 9 homers and 12 doubles against righties. Jose Abreu has 19 doubles and 7 homers against righties. Jose Abreu is hitting .303 against right-handed pitching, and Robert is hitting .280. And just quickly on the way out here, Cal Quantrill has allowed 12 homers. He's got a 4.65 xFIP compared to a 3.76 ERA. He's got an 83% contact rate. He's only striking out 5 batters per 9, and he's got a whopping 37% fly ball rate. So I think the White Sox get to him today. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you on Monday.